Did you know that way back in 2001, Rabble.ca created one of the first podcast networks in Canada? Since then, Rabble.ca has counted on your donations to keep us surviving and thriving. Rabble.ca gets no government money. We have no corporate parent or primary foundation support. We have a donation page at rabble.ca/donate. And we have you. That's why it's so important that you go to rabble.ca/donate. Rabble.ca makes every dollar in our budget count. Please support us. We're counting on you. Go to rabble.ca/donate. Thanks in advance.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this. You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
We have on phone with us today Alex Hundert. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Dan. It's nice to talk to you and be back on the radio.
Yeah, we haven't had you on for a while. We're talking to you today because it's 4 years since the G20 in Toronto. 4 years since the cops kicked down your door early morning and arrested you and threw you in jail and into the G20 conspiracy case. What are you up to now, I guess, since then?
Well, as you know, in the time since then, I spent a fair percentage of the last 4 years dealing with that fallout, including over a year of jail time, 9 months of house arrest. So really, it's only been kind of like the last, it's only been a little over a year and a half since I got out of jail. I don't know, like October 2012, is that when I got out?
That sounds about right.
That sounds right. But I am now living up in Grassy Narrows full time. I'm working at the school there as a way to facilitate being able to be in the community full time to do work with the new Grassy Narrows Youth Group, which is kind of like a new generation of youth in the community stepping up to continue protecting the land and reinvigorating culture and things like that. And so that's what I've been doing. I'm kind of here full time now, focused on mat organizing. And the nature of living in a remote community is that the work goes slow, but we're making good progress. And you know, I'm happy to be able to say it feels like Grassy Narrows is kind of winning their struggle to protect the lands, and you know, there's a Supreme Court case we're waiting on a decision for, but you know, it is the season to be out on the land in full force, so we're trying to do that as much as possible.
That's awesome to hear that you're you know, after you know, going through the court system and that, you're still back in action, taking on land-based struggles and working with the same, some of the same communities you're working with beforehand, getting wrapped up in the G20 court case and conspiracy case.
Given our conclusion, that seemed, you know, very evidence-based, that a big part of why we were targeted was because of the bridges we worked to build between different pockets of resistance supporting Indigenous communities, you know, land defense-based struggles, and putting them, you know, working to build relationships between those struggles and kind of urban-based anarchist and other urban movements and things like that. If that's why we got targeted, it's probably because we're doing something right and should get back to it.
I have been thinking about that a little bit as well recently in a lot of the work that's been going on around in Southern Ontario around anti-pipeline work. What kind of stuff's going on up in Grassy Narrows right now in terms of the on-the-ground resistance?
It's an interesting phase immediately in Grassy because in May we finally got confirmation that they're not going to start cutting in Grassy territory this year. The 10-year logging plan that seeks to essentially decimate the territory is still in full effect, but this year they're not cutting anywhere near Grassy, so that shifted some of the short-term priorities around. There's ongoing work being done by some of the grassroots leaders in the community around actually engaged in some degree of process with the government around mercury, around water source protection, and a few other issues. In terms of the logging, we're kind of right back where we were a year ago. They're planning to start cutting April 1st, and we'll see where they plan to cut next year. But regionally, I mean, one of the things that just happened that kind of, I think, is a good example of continuing on with what we were doing before. There's a community, there's Lac Seul First Nation, and a part of Lac Seul First Nation is the Namigosiping Anishinaabe, the Anishinaabe people of Trout Lake, and they've been fighting to save Big Falls, which is a waterfall on the English River system, well, on the Trout River, which is the headwaters of the English River system, where they want to put in a new hydro dam, which is, you know, the hydro dams that went in this region were, in, you know, by some measures, part of that kind of beginning of the end period. But so they had a gathering up there, and I actually invited one of my co-accused, a good friend of ours, Mandy Iscox, came up to kind of see what that was all about and find out ways that people in southern Ontario could support the struggle in that community and making connections between that community's struggle and Grassy Narrows and kind of the history of work we've been doing. And interestingly enough, exactly what Mandy and I presented on at that gathering was on the G20 and what it means in the context of that type of struggle and building larger movements. So, you know, a lot of what we were doing is still going on, you know, despite the shifting in particular fronts people are fighting on and policy and legal changes, it's essentially the same thing. Movement building, digging in communities, prefigurative resistance, all that sort of stuff. Decolonization, I mean, these are the things we need to do, and they don't shift on the kind of time frame we're looking at right now, I don't think.
So what was the impact of the G20? What was the disruption that it caused in organizing in Ontario then?
I think the disruption was a lot more in southern Ontario. Networks of activists were disrupted, organizations were, you know, some ours, for example, AWOL folded as, I would say, a direct impact of, or a culmination of impacts around the G20.
For sure.
I would say one of the impacts in a place like for Grassy Narrows specifically was that there was a wane in support from Southern Ontario as those networks needed to be rebuilt. The level of support and commitment that individuals were able to make in the wake of G20 was a lot smaller. At the same time, and so in southern Ontario, there was a lot of shifting and questions of, okay, well, who's going to step up? How are we going to rebuild some of these networks? How are we going to continue to expand others? What worked and what didn't? And I think that's been a long process, and I think it's still ongoing. I mean, just looking at the Facebook statuses of people who were very directly involved in the G20 and its fallout, I mean, it is still a very big, prescient issue for most people. For me, it was more the irony of I once again had a court date on June 25th. It seems to be this annual thing for me now of some kind of serious legal process conflict for me. But that was Line 9 stuff, which is also ongoing. In the region I'm living in now, we're a lot more focused on the Energy East than Line 9, but a lot of the strategies overlap. A lot of the issues are identical. Yeah, so now my court date's September 17th. they seem to want me there. I was very much hoping to just be found guilty in absentia.
They really just want to bring you back. Well, that's interesting that, again, you've been...
You'd think they'd want to keep me out of southern Ontario, but looking at what just happened with one of the OCAP trials, I think John Clark was also hoping for some sort of similar outcome, but they really, really wanted him to be there, and he basically got a, almost, from what I understand, an almost nonsensical kind of rant lecture from the judge, and so I imagine I've got something similar in store for me. No ends of breaks.
So
you pick when you want to make a big deal out of the trial and when you want to just make it go away.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, that's interesting to hear that there's work on Energy East and there's focus there. It's also interesting maybe one of the things is the Line 9 campaigns maybe got started a little late due to that disruption and the the organization. Yeah.
I think other things suffered serious lapses as people dealt with that fallout. I don't think we were very prepared for. I think what we were really unprepared for was the emotional impact. Mm. We kind of looked at it like, I don't know that I have a very developed way to articulate that, but I think that was a big, one of the things we were very unprepared for was what the emotional impact would be on ourselves and people around us.
That's some good insight for sure there.
Right, well, a good insight would be knowing where we went wrong and how we could fix it, but, you know.
Well, it's a good thought, then.
Literally.
Right, well, any other thoughts before we let you get on with your day? Anything that's coming up that you want people to know about?
I mean, the social forum that's coming up is interesting and is a thing that a lot of people are talking about. The caravan's going to be coming through Kenora. To the social forum from the West Coast. And I think that, like, this may be, unless I'm missing something, the first really large kind of national scale activist gathering that we've had since the G20. I mean, unless you want to count the Human Walk.
Right.
Which maybe should be counted, which is also coming up. And I just think it's interesting to see the ways that some of the narratives have shifted in how we talk about why we're doing that, what they're for. I mean, this is different. There isn't a protest connected to it. You could argue that it's a much more figurative thing. It's not a response. It's a building. At the same time, like, it's also this weird kind of tendency to centralize our organizing, despite the fact that we are all very aware that in terms of actual organization of communities, we need decentralized, kind of autonomous communities. And I go back and forth on what I think the role of kind of national level organizers in kind of pushing that decentralization versus kind of harmonizing the work we're doing across the country. You know, I'm someone who tends to think that anything we do that reinforces the notion that Canada is one place is a mistake, but I realize I'm somewhat alone on that thought.
Not completely.
No, not completely, of course, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to be going. I'm going to be staying here to continue on with the land-based work we're doing, but I think people from Gradsy will be going. We will definitely be meeting up with the caravan, so, you know, I think it's a give and take, and that, you know, whereas in past years I have felt very much a lot of pressure to be helping to coordinate these big national things, right now I feel more effective kind of digging in and seeing through kind of. I know people are starting to shy away from the term allies, but seeing through an allyship based around a particular struggle really till it's done.
Right.
And I don't know, I don't quite know how to define when these things are done, but it's also not for me to define, right?
Well, that's I suppose that's true then.
But yeah, also, the River Run is coming up.
That's right, at the end of July.
Semi-annual sort of thing. It doesn't happen quite every year, but the sort of annual-ish Grassy Narrows March in Toronto is coming up. It is scheduled for the end of July. There's going to be a really great talk happening in Toronto with Leanne Simpson as one of the keynotes, and as far as I'm concerned, she's quite likely the most brilliant person in the country right now. There I go again, reinforcing the idea of the country. But so she's speaking, which will be wonderful. Women from Gradsy will also be speaking. And then the following day, there will be the big River Run March. You know, it's a march to Queen's Park, I think. The message is built around the, to some extent, you poisoned our water. What are you doing about it? The community, you know, youth in the community and new infants still continue to exhibit signs of mercury poisoning. Yet the compensation deal that was reached over a decade ago is woefully inadequate. And at the same time, the government continues to put the water at risk and to destroy the land. So this is kind of, you know, a mercury-based kind of demand set, but it addresses the kind of bigger issues of land and water and the relationship between Grassy Narrows and the government, I think, at least in the way I look at it. The freegrassy.net website has the information for this year's River Run Up on it already.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks for reminding us about that. We'll be trying to get a PSA going, and we'll be sure to get a busload to the River Run. It's July 29th to 31st.
But also coming up this summer, it is definitely less on people's radar, is the 40th anniversary of the Anishinaabe Park occupation, which in my eyes is, you know, as big a national event in this, in terms of resistance history, particularly indigenous resistance, as Oka was. It's longer ago and has not been commemorated in the same way, so people don't think about it. But that's coming up in August and is really big. You know, that was the same summer as the People's Caravan to Ottawa, which got attacked on the steps of Parliament. And, you know, it's important to remember the context of our histories. So that's coming up, and I'd encourage people who are looking for an excuse to come visit beautiful Kenora or Grassy Narrows territory to come up for that, because I imagine there'll be a lot of learning to do there.
Awesome.
And maybe I'll produce something for you covering that as the time draws nearer.
That would be great, because, yeah, getting more information about that, those events would be good. And thanks for those updates. Alex, thanks for joining us today. I hope we can have you on either AWOL Radio or the Daily Gur as time marches on this summer. Any song requests we could put on for you?
Okay, Please Resist by the Rebel Spell. How about that?
That's a good song.
They got a new album they're working on. I can't wait for it.
Did you get in on their Kickstarter campaign or their Indiegogo?
Not yet. I have no money. I've been promoting it and telling people to support. I will try to throw them something before it's done.
It got funded.
Some tokenistic gesture.
It got funded. You're just going to have to get an album at the show now, I guess. You know. Awesome, Alex. Thanks again, and have a great weekend.
You too, Dan. Nice to talk to you.
And here's the Rebel Spell with Please Resist on AWOL Radio.